mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me, and there my burden so found liberty. Glory. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. That brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. Oh, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me.
Let's just give the Lord a clap of praise. We welcome you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Why don't you shake someone's hand and just greet them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just welcome you, and hopefully that you're here to worship Him in spirit and in truth and to feast upon His word. Amen? Because that's what we're here for. And I apologize, the song was a little bit too high for me, but that's probably my fault. Sister Esther only plays what I give her, the key that I give her. So that was my fault. So why don't we sing, let's just sing this song, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. And let's just worship Him this afternoon. Let's invite His presence. Amen. Good to have all of our visitors. Good to have Brother Robbie and everybody here with us. Brother Martin, his family, and of course the Borlevins from all different parts of the country. Amen. Good to have everybody here with us. Amen. And Renee, good to see you. Good to see your sister. Each and every one, it's just a lovely day to praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. So let's just worship Him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Unto Him, say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you. Lord, I love.
Oh, do you really love Him this afternoon?
Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord Jesus. You may be seated this afternoon. Amen. Let's just sing one more song here, and then we're going to make way for some specials. I believe there was a few specials. Brother Martin, I think there were some specials on your two. Okay, Brother Robbie, I don't know if you're good. And I don't know if Sister Orlov and Brother Willie's family. Is it Elijah? Yeah, okay. You ready to sing in a little bit? Okay, all right. Giving you a heads up now. All right. Let's just sing this song, Let the Worshippers Arise. Amen. And if you want to stand again and worship Him, amen, you're welcome to. Praise the Lord. Father, I see that You were drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing, holding Your hand. So let Your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all, I surrender to the King. Sing it unto Him one more time. Oh, let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all, I surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of Your redeemed, as the bride of every nation is awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem, oh, hear the praises ring. This is our song, a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all, I'm surrendered to the King. Once again, oh, let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender in my all, I surrender to the King. Oh, Father, I see the Lamb arising with the book of His redeemed. We have opened up the seals, and now the bride will see this brand new revelation, the song of eternity. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the King. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all, oh, I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise, oh, let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all, I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise one more time. Oh, let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. Oh, sing unto Him, He's worthy of all praise. Surrender in my all,
I surrender to the King. If you're ready to surrender, sing that to Him. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Give the Lord a clap of praise this afternoon.
Amen. We're praising Him this afternoon, amen? We're not here to praise a man, amen. We're praise the man, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Good to have Levi here with us. He just graduated last night. So it was wonderful to see that. Praise the Lord. Brother Martin, if you want to come, we'll have you come sing first. Dios le bendiga, hermano. Un placer de saludarlo.
God bless you, Saint. Me da gusto estar aquí el día de hoy.
It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
No voy a cantar.
I'm not going to sing.
Porque si canto, todos se van a ir.
Because if I sing, everybody will leave.
Pero vengo a decirle que estoy contento.
But I just wanted to let you know that I'm happy.
De estar otra vez mirándolos a cada uno de ustedes.
To be able to see each and every one of you again.
Y la que va a cantar es mi hija Naomi.
And the one that's going to sing is my daughter Naomi.
Y el hermano Alfredo que nos visita de México.
And brother Alfredo, the one that's he's visiting us from Mexico.
De Monterrey, México.
He's from Monterrey, Mexico.
Su hijo de él es pastor allá en Monterrey.
His son is a pastor there in Monterrey.
Y nos está visitando unas dos semanas aquí.
And he's visiting us here with us here in Georgia for about two weeks.
Y gracias a Dios que traigo a mis hijos.
And I also bring my children here with me.
Iba a venir más familia, más jóvenes de la iglesia, pero al último no llegaron.
There were more young people that were going to come, but they decided at the end not to come.
Pero usted está aquí.
But you're here.
Yo estoy aquí.
I'm here.
Dios está aquí.
God is here.
Y a él es la honra y la gloria.
And to Him be the honor and glory.
Entonces, amen. Pasa nuestro hermano a cantar
so
primero.
So the brother can come and sing. Amen.
Él va a cantar un especial después, mi hija.
Okay.
No sé si se canta.
I just say praise the Lord.
Dios les bendiga, hermanos. Dios les bendiga, hermanos.
God bless you, brothers.
En esta mañana estoy muy agradecido con el Señor.
I'm very happy with the Lord this afternoon.
Por estar aquí con ustedes.
To be here with you today.
No les conocía.
And I don't know you.
Pero yo creo que de aquel lado de la cortina del tiempo estamos en la mente del Señor y ahí sí nos conocimos.
But I believe that we were in the mind of God and I know that we knew there,
es que
each other
bendiga en esta mañana.
And so God bless you this morning.
Quiero entonar esta alabanza, es una alabanza muy sencilla.
And I want to sing the song, it's a simple song.
Se titula Indigno Era Yo.
And the title of it is I Was Unworthy.
Porque yo pienso que no hay nadie aquí que pueda decir que es digno de haber recibido este mensaje glorioso que el Señor nos mandó.
None of us can say that we were worthy to receive this message that God has given us.
Ha sido su gracia la que nos tiene hasta aquí.
It's been His grace that has brought us this far.
Amen. Dios le bendiga.
God bless you.
Indigno, tan indigno era yo, que no sé cómo fue que Él me amó. Indigno, tan indigno, que cuando Él me halló, yo no sé cómo fue que Él me amó. Solo sé que fue grande su amor. Fue tan grande que mi alma salvó. Indigno, tan indigno, que cuando Él me halló, yo no sé cómo fue que Él me amó. Indigno, tan indigno era yo, que no sé cómo fue que Él me amó. Indigno, tan indigno, que cuando Él me halló, yo no sé cómo fue que Él me amó. Solo sé que fue grande su amor. Fue tan grande que mi alma salvó. Indigno, tan indigno, que cuando Él me halló, yo no sé cómo fue que Él me amó. Dios les bendiga.
God bless. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing that in any language, amen, it's the same. It may be a different language, but it's the same Holy Spirit. Amen. And we worship the same God. Amen. No matter what the language is being spoken. Sister Naomi, come sing for us this afternoon. Praise the Lord. She might be playing the piano.
bless you.
Praise the Lord. I think she was switching back from English and Spanish, I think. That's what I was hearing. So, wonderful. Wonderful. Elijah, you want to come? Is it Elijah? Okay, I'm sorry. Come and sing, and then we'll take up the offering after he sings, and then we'll have Brother Robbie and them sing. Okay. He comes in here, he knows what he's doing.
This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Doctors didn't give it to me. The healing that I have, the doctors didn't give it to me. The healing that I have, the doctors didn't give it to me. The doctors didn't give it, and the doctors can't take it away. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away.
Amen. Thank God for the joy of the Lord, because the Bible says it gives us strength, and we need strength in the hour that we're living in. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Brother Aaron, you want to come help us take up our offering? Brother Aaron Roberts.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, and all your blessings on us. And Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, we're able to come to your house and worship, Lord. We just pray that you bless the service today. Bless each one that's come, Lord. Give us what we have need of today. Bless Brother William as he comes to bring the word to us, Lord. Lord, just bless the tithes and offerings as we give unto you. Lord, just pray that everyone that has a need, Lord, we receive something from you today, Lord. Lord, for those that are watching in, Lord, we just pray that you be with him also. We ask all these in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Man, as he takes that up and Brother Robbie prepares himself, let's just sing Take Up Your Cross, key of F.
Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross. Every day, don't be ashamed to say that you know him. Count the cost, take up your cross and follow him. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Jesus, take up your cross every day. say that you know Him. Just count the cost, take up your cross and follow Him.
Sing it one more time as Brother Robbie gets ready to come.
Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Just count the cost. Take up your cross and follow
God bless you again. It's good to be here. I bring some more people with me this time. This is my daughter, Brooke. This is my sister-in-law, Maranatha. And you all know him. I met some people that I hadn't seen for a while. So nice to be back with believers again that we haven't seen in a while. Believe it or not, me and Brother Martin, we used to play soccer together. And Joseph Canada, he was like a star basketball player back in the day. We've gotten kind of older now, but we used to be young like you guys, you know. And but you see proof that we're still trying to serve the Lord, so you see an example in front of you, you know, of your parents trying to serve the Lord. Amen. This song is, you can sing along with us if you want. Like the rushing of a mighty wind, that's what we want, right?
Like the rushing of a mighty wind.
prayer today. Thank you.
We'll sing one more, a faster one here, and now Brother Lewis can come up. Everyone knows this song, I'm Not Giving Up, I'm Not Turning Around. Well, I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. By the grace of God, I'll win the shining crown someday. I'll keep holding on to that nail-scarred hand. I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep holding on.
One more time. Oh, I'm not giving up.
Clap of praise once again. Amen. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. Where else could we go? He is the only one who has the words of eternal life. Ain't that right, Brother John?
That's right, brother. Amen.
We tried to give up. We've tried to throw in the rag many times, and it just doesn't work. He's still drawing. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's just stand to our feet, and we're going to sing this song, and with this, we'll have Brother Wade come up. Let's just sing Highway to Heaven, KOC. Thank you for all the specials. Appreciate all the singers. We'll have more tomorrow. If you'll be here, you can get to hear some wonderful specials. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there, but the pure in heart is the highway. Beside me is love to God.
King's highway.
The King's Highway. Well, good to be in the house of the Lord on a Saturday afternoon. Where else would you want to be? If you're a Christian, this is where you want to be. But good to have each and every one. Brother from Mexico, we got them from Virginia. My goodness, we got them from everywhere. Good to see Brother Ben and Sister Sharon with us today. And good to have them with us. And thought we might get Sharon to sing a song maybe. You got one? You got one? Yeah, let's sit down. I want to have her come sing a song for us. That's all right. We got a little bit of time. We're okay. I'll cut William off after about 30 minutes.
He's prepping.
She fall over, she's asleep.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Someone have a testimony in their heart?
Just say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We just thank God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. You may have put her on the spot, Brother Wade. Amen.
Y'all hear this tune? Once y'all hear this tune a couple of times, y'all join in. This is just Isaiah 60. God gave me a tune to this a couple of years ago, and it's just good to sing scripture sometimes, isn't it? Arise, shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Arise, shine. Risen upon thee.
appreciate her and Brother Ben bringing the girls with them. The girls have grown up. My goodness gracious. Good to see Brother Martin, the brother from Mexico. Good to see each and every one of you here. Next weekend, y'all won't, this coming next weekend, not this weekend, next weekend, you won't see me here. You'll get to hear Brother Bob because I'm going to be at Brother Martin's, Lord willing, speaking for him. So just keep us in prayer there. So everybody stand to our feet. We appreciate every one of you coming. Like I said before, we appreciate the time you come on a Saturday to come and spend here. We could be doing 1,000 different things, but we want to come here and have something for the youth, something a little bit catered to them. And then tomorrow will be a regular service. It'll be one service starting at 9:45 and have a regular Sunday school class. And then Brother William will bring the message, and then we'll be finished whenever he's finished, and we won't have a second service. But today, after we get finished, we're going to worship for a little bit, and then we're going to have a food downstairs. We got a taco bar for you to go down and enjoy yourself, fellowship. There'll be something to do for the youth, the smaller ones. You'll need to get with Sister Gabby and Brother Luis, different ones, and tell you where to go and get directions of where to go. The older ones, do some Bible trivia, and we've got some prizes that we give out. So we have something after the service, but the Word's most important. Amen. The Word of God's most important. So we appreciate Brother William and bringing his whole family with him. And when the Burlebon brings their whole family, that's a lot. Yeah, that's a bus or two. So good to have Brother Sam and Sister Sharon and their group with us today. And Brother Robbie's brought his group. I tell you, this man is smart. Let me tell you something about it. I never met Sister Brooke, but we saw some pictures of her. But his daughter, she rides a horse. And you'll be okay. If she falls over, she'll be fine. She rides a horse and shoots a gun in competition. So she's riding like 20 miles an hour. She pulls the gun out. She shoots the balloons. I said, dude, you got no problem with that girl ever dating anybody. She'll either run over them with a horse or shoot them before they get there. So praise the Lord. Some of y'all ought to start taking that up, or maybe bow and arrow. We got several here today that shot bow and arrow at a competition today and got here. So they do very well. And Brother Joe's family and Brother my brother-in-law back here, they have their family. So get the kids involved. What are you saying? Well, you know, kids are kids. Let's get them involved in something. Let's get them involved in something that they can do. I thank God that our sisters and young men, especially our sisters, do things with their dresses on, and they're not ashamed of it. We see them playing basketball. I got no problem with that at all. You know, go do what you need to do. If you can do it in a dress, you're fine. Just do it for the glory of the Lord, and I believe God will honor you, because as Brother William and I were talking just a few minutes ago, you know, there's a lot of things about church and all, but you know, if we don't have another generation, if the Lord does tarry another 10 years, we got another generation that's going to have to take over for the older generation. Amen. If not, Brother Robbie, there's going to be a big gap there. God's never going to have a gap. He's going to have a group of people that's going to continue. And you see it as 50 years, Brother Dale's been here. We see how that would come in and become, you know, deacons. We got Brother Michael. He'll be here tomorrow. But, you know, come in, grow up in the church and become leading singing, and then become teaching the young adults in Sunday school class. So I like to see each one develop like that. Good to see Brother Levi, you know, graduating high school. There was a time when I was growing up in the message in the 70s that it was taboo to graduate high school. Because they said, Brother Brown said, get them out of, you know, education's of the devil. So they started pulling them out at 16 years old and putting them to work. Well, guess what? That don't work. Right. I believe in education. Yeah. I believe you ought to get an education. You ought to get a good education, because without it, you're not going to be able to survive in this world. You're going to need a good education. Right. And then you need somebody like Brother John Durrett to teach you how to use your money. And then, but good to see Brother John back. He got in last night. It was good to see you back, buddy. Where'd you come back from? Poland. That's a long drive. Yeah, he had to go to Poland for his job, and he got back. And it was a surprise to see him today, but always good to have them with us. So let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother William Borlevon comes. I know most of you know him. If you don't, you'll get to know him pretty quick, because he's a real nice, personable guy. and he goes to Brother Ron Spencer's church in Gratis, Virginia. He decided to move up there and be a part of their assembly, and we sure appreciate him, and we've loved him for since they were, Gabby was a baby. So he married a baby, you know, so she's not a baby anymore. But let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart, and let's bring our brother and pull him to give. Kids, everybody, young adults, pull on the gift. You'll get something if you want something. You'll get something if you want something. If you don't want anything, you'll go out of here just as dry as you walked in here. But if you want somebody to fill your cup up, God will fill your cup up. But you know what you got to do? You got to put it out there. You got to put it under the spout. Make it available. All right? So let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart, and Brother William Borlamon comes to speak for us. And then afterwards, when we get finished, like I said, we'll go downstairs and eat, and then we'll have activities for the young adults. It's good to see each and every one of you again. Be with us. Sister, good to see you and all the ones that have not been here before. Just make yourself at home. This is just a family reunion. You just meet more family. Just go to reunion. So be comfortable, because this is just family. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's certainly an honor and a privilege to be with each and every one of you.
Amen.
As Brother Wade mentioned, we're happy to be here with my family. The last time I was up, I was flying solo with Sister Rebecca, but little Enoch joined us there. So now we're a family of seven. I can't believe it. But here we are. God's grace is sufficient, and we certainly appreciate each and every one of you. We're happy to be with you again. We'd like to thank Brother Wade for having us, Brother Samuel Dell, and all the ministry team here. Amen. We certainly love and appreciate each and every one of you. Amen. We'd like to thank Brother Bob and Sister Monica for putting up with us this weekend, and then my Brother Sam, Sister Sharon, driving up from Kentucky. And, you know, as I was going to mention the same thing as Brother Wade mentioned, you know, we kind of had a little mini family reunion there, and then we come here. And the family reunion continues. Amen. The family of God. That's the greatest family. That is the real family, Brother Ben. So good to see you, my dear brother. That is the real family, is the family of God. Amen. So we're so thankful for each and every one of you and the stand that you take here. And you know, this is the only message church, I think, Brother Wade, that has banjos that I know of. But I love it. I love it. I love the banjo. So we're thankful for that. And we just bring you greetings from the home church.
Amen.
Brother Ron, Brother Andrew, and all, they send their love and appreciation to you all. And Brother Ron, he thanks you for all the prayers. He's just fighting the good fight.
Amen.
You know, Satan attacks us all in different ways. And, you know, and he's just standing strong. God's grace is sufficient, giving him strength. He preaches every Sunday. And so we're thankful for that. And Satan sometimes thinks he just can attack us. And what it does is it actually just squeezes the character of God right out of our lives.
Amen.
There's things in you, Brother Aaron, that you may not realize is there, and God will allow that trial come by, allow Satan to maybe touch your life a little bit. make you cry out to God. And it just gets more character right out of you. The character that is laying there. Amen. Because that's the only way it comes out, is through trials and sufferings. None of us look for it. None of us ask for it. None of us jump up and down that a trial's come our way. But God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one. The Bible tells us that it's more than pure gold. You think about that. Pure gold, because the gold will perish. But the character that you have, my brother, you will have throughout all eternity. You can't reign without suffering. Amen. So we'll just not keep you standing here. If you'll just turn with me with Romans 8:31. Amen. Praise the Lord. As you're turning with the help of the Lord, I'd like to speak to you on more than conquerors. Amen. If you brothers in the back could turn it up just a little bit. Or do I have the microphone high enough? Is this good, Brother Wade? Okay. All right. So Romans 8:31, we'll begin reading. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is God. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this assembly. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every one that's made their way to the house of the Lord. And Father, we've gathered here, Lord, not to hear from man, but to hear from you. We just pray, Lord, now as we look to you, Father, both speaker and hearer alike, we ask that you just move us out of the way, Lord, not only eyes of speaker, but the hearer themselves, Father. May they hear from you, and we'll all in turn give you all the praise, honor, and glory. Meet each and every need, Father. Touch the sick and needy, Father, and have your way in this service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask all these things. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As you're seated, I'll also read Ephesians 6:10. Very familiar text. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. We're living in that evil day. So the scripture tells us, if you want to be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all you can to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench some of the fiery darts of the wicked. Does that sound right? No, all of the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. You know, the Word of God is eternal, and it doesn't matter how the world changes, the Word of God never changes. So to you young people, it doesn't matter in what stage and age and season of life that you're in, the Word is still the same. The generation, your parents are of another generation. Well, when your parents were your age, they were reading the same scriptures and drawing strength from the same promises of God and help them overcome the enemy in their age. And now the same word gives you the strength to overcome the enemy in this age. Because remember, just because we may be older doesn't mean that we quit fighting the devil. The battles may change, but the enemy is still the same, and we depend on the same word of God. Now, there was a man, Alexander Hamilton. He's actually on the $10 bill, and he was one of the founding fathers, and he's quoted as saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And that's humanity in a nutshell. When they don't know where to stand, they don't have a truth, they don't even know what's truth. Many of them don't even have the desire for truth. The enemy blows every which way. The influences of the world come. The pulls of the world come and drags them in every different direction to where they don't even know what gender they belong to anymore. Because they don't stand on anything to be able to say, this is the truth. If you know what truth is, then you can discern what's not truth. But if you don't even understand what the truth is, then the enemy can battle you and get you to reason against the Word of God. In 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, the importance is very important. This is for both young people and older people, like old people, doesn't matter your age, is that you see that we see ourselves through the eyes of the Word. Now, this is important in two ways that I'm going to dwell a little bit here, because you can be a Holy Ghost-filled Christian, elect of God, on your way to heaven, but because you're not looking, because you may have a little spiritual amnesia, and you're not looking at yourself through the Word of God, you think that you're a sinner. You don't feel saved. You feel so terrible because you're not looking at yourself through the Word of God. And on the flip side of that, someone like the Pharisee can have a spirit of a Pharisee, and feel that they're so religious and they're so self-righteous, but they don't search the Scriptures to see that they even need God. And that is where the danger can even come in when we're raising the message, is that no matter that you've never done drugs, it doesn't matter that you've never been hooked on pornography, nothing matters. The fact that you're born, you need Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter that you've never done that, that you can't come up with a list of sins. You need to be saved. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So it's important that we see ourselves through what God says about us. If God says we're forgiven, then we're forgiven. If God says that we're justified, we're justified. And no devil in hell can change that. Now, I was listening to a tape in the sermon here on what is the Holy Ghost. The prophet of God, I love his honesty. Whenever we, you know, he's just so honest. He tells he talks about his life, and his life is an open book. And he begins to tell a story here. And he says, there is nothing that will ever defeat Satan. There has never been nothing on the earth yet that would ever defeat Satan like the Word of God. Jesus used it in his great battle. He said, it is written. He said, and this morning, while I've been listening a few days ago to a broadcast that seemed to want to tell that creation just come from some ashes blowing together and some phosphate and a few chemicals of the earth, and the warm sunshine created the germ of life and brought out life. How ridiculous when the sunshine will kill any germ of life. Lay a germ out there in the sunshine, it'll kill it immediately, and there was no such a thing. But Satan trying to punch at me, the seventh church age messenger, and Satan is trying to punch at him. And after I had taken my little Rebecca to school this morning, he just still had his Monday morning chores. Okay? And on the road back, I started to turn the radio on again, and I thought I would not get into that stuff, so I'll just turn it back off. And I was going up the street. Satan said to me, he said, do you know that this man that you called Jesus was just a man like one in his day, like Billy Graham or Oral Roberts? Here you have the prophet of God, and you have Satan coming to him, and he's trying, of all the miracles that he's seen, Brother Bob, seeing the angel of the Lord, meeting an angel in a cave, and Satan still comes to him and said, you know this Jesus that you preach about? He was just a man. He started to form a little clique, and then all of a sudden it spun and it grew, and he was just a man, and you're worshiping a man? Satan was punching that at him. He was just a man. And they begin to have a few people to gather around him and say he's a great man. And after a while, it become greater, and then it become a god to them. And now it's scattered all over the world since he's dead, and that's all. Satan fighting him. Brother Brandon was having a mind battle. Yes, amen. I thought, how a liar that you are. I said, Satan, you that's talking to my conscience, I'd like to ask you a few things. Now notice, the prophet of God took the same example that Jesus gave when Satan tempted him. The prophet did not say, Satan, remember that person that was healed. Remember the angel met me in the cave. Remember when I was baptized on the Ohio River. He didn't refer to a single miracle that he experienced. Satan took Brother Branham took Satan right back to the Word of God. So how should that encourage you? How should that encourage me? We can't say, Satan, I met the angel of the Lord while in a cave. I baptized. I seen the miracles. But yet you can take, listen now, you can take the Satan right back to the same experience that Brother Branham had. Not the experience of meeting an angel in a cave, but meeting the same Lord Jesus Christ. So you have the same born-again experience that the prophet had. And you're able to then take the enemy back to your own burning sands. Back to your burning bush. So here you have the prophet that begins to bring up, out of his entire ministry, he brings up the word to Satan. He said, I said, Satan, you that's talking to my conscience, I'd like to ask you a few things. Who was it that the Hebrew prophet spoke that would come? Who was the anointed Messiah? What was upon those men that foresaw him and told his life thousands of years? And he goes on through, and then he promised the Holy Ghost, and I've got it. Amen. So you just might as well get away from it because it's written in the Word, and every word is true. Then he left. Amen. Just give him the Word, that does it. He can't stand the Word, amen, for it's inspired. Out of everything, he gave him the word test. Right. He has the same word. He had the same word to fight the enemy with that you do, Brother Zach. Yeah, that's right. Right. Now listen. Satan tried that to him about the Bible. Satan will try that with you about the Bible. But he'll also try that with you about the message. Remember, because if he can get you away from the message, well, get you to doubt that, but then take this, and he's getting you in your mind to separate the two, he's got you off your ground. He's got you wobbling. And while you're wobbling, like they do in boxing, that's the time when the boxer goes in and finishes him off, when he's wobbling. So Satan will come to you and he'll try and cast out. Maybe it won't begin with the prophet. Maybe it'll begin with your pastor. Maybe it'll begin with your parents. And he begins to try and get you off of your ground. And once you're off the ground and you begin to doubt the prophet, then you begin to doubt the word, and there's no bottom to it. Because if the message was wrong, it would not only not produce what it's saying, but Satan wouldn't attack it. Satan don't attack the other religions because there's no truth to it. Remember, in Genesis 28, Jacob only knew God as the God of Abraham and Isaac. He did not know God as his God until after he wrestled with an angel. And when he wrestled with an angel, even the scripture at first, whenever he's talking, when they record the story of Jacob, it's always the God of Abraham and Isaac. The God of Abraham and Isaac made this covenant. But after Jacob had an experience with the angel, he then became the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Amen. After he wrestled with the angel, and you have to wrestle with the mighty angel. Amen. Not with the prophet messenger. You have to wrestle it out with the angel, the mighty angel, Revelations 10:1. And then it won't just be the message of your parents. It won't just be the message of your pastor. It won't just be the prophet's message. It'll be your message. It'll be the message. It'll be Jesus Christ, your Jesus Christ, your message. It won't just be do's and don'ts. It won't be just things I've got to do. It will be your message. And then Satan can never take that away from you. The Lord Jesus Christ will make this message yours. Then it's not just doctrine. It is the literal life of Jesus Christ. There's natural elements that we're all a part of. There's natural jobs that we have and natural livings and schools and events. But we cannot lose the focus that the real thing is what's behind the veil. the message, people see a lot of impersonation. And people see hypocrisy and they try and throw the whole thing away. But there is reality. And remember, the true message believer had to be there first. Before a scandal in a message church made you doubt. There's lots of counterfeit money out there, but it doesn't stop any of us from making transactions, does it? Just because there's counterfeit. Well, I've got $1,000 in my pocket to buy this. I need it, $100 or whatever, but I'm not going to buy it because there's so much counterfeit, and this may be counterfeit. This message is reality, and it is the only reality that produces a real husband. It is the only reality that produces a real wife. It is the only reality that produces a true friend. There's good people out there. You've got good neighbors. You've got good people in your community, and they're wonderful. But this message produces exactly what it's spoken. The world has no godly control tower. But the Holy Ghost in us is what is the control tower. Because you see, Satan is a devil. And Satan don't care about you. God cares. He's proved that. Satan don't care. Satan will pretend that he cares until he draws you away from those that you love, from those that really care. He'll make you think they don't care and make you think he's the one that's caring. And when he's got you surrounded, then he'll leave you. You won't feel so cared. Then you'll feel used and abused. Now, Satan will never come around to tell you that you need Jesus. But he will say you don't need him. You know, years ago, there's people, you know, you can go on the internet and look this up and just take it for whatever it is. But people can have near-death experiences and they've got experiences of heaven and hell and they've got their different... There's stories behind it. And there was this one man on the internet, and he was talking about having an experience of hell, and he might have even been an atheist. I don't remember the story. But the point I'm trying to make is he went there, and he seen that there were, and when he came back, he became a Christian. But when he went there, he seen that demons were tormenting people, souls in hell. And as these demons were tormenting them, what he kept hearing is the demons say, "You stupid, stupid, stupid humans. You stupid, stupid, we tricked you." You see, that's what Satan does. He is a deceiver. And he'll give you a mirage and make you think that you just have the world by the tail. And in reality, you want to be led by God of what kind of life you should live. You want to be led by God what person that you should marry. God cares about the little things. Because you see, Satan will focus his attacks on the young people. And specifically, because they're pure, they're innocent, and as they begin to mature into teenagers, and as they begin to mature, they have a lot of energy. They get ambitions, they get plans, and they get choices, and Satan will get into them details. And he'll get the energy and the passion that a teenager or a young person may have. And instead of using it for God's glory and the zeal, and Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Lead me, he'll then misuse that and send them out in the world and spend their energies on the world. Because Satan tries to infiltrate the desires and choices that you have to make to bring you down a bad path. All the decisions, our lives are full of decisions. He'd like to take your passion and energy and redirect it to sinful things. And a lot of times that can begin with a disrespect of parents. In 1 Samuel 15:23, the Bible says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry." That's why it's so important to lean, if you have Holy Ghost-filled parents, to lean on them. Because they've been through it. Despite of what Satan will tell you that your parents don't understand, or that you don't understand what I'm going through, they have in fact. But maybe they've got some scars in their life they're trying to protect you from. So if Satan can get in the details of your life and get you to rebel and not listen to your parents, then that's only setting yourself up for failure. It's important to surround yourself with Holy Ghost-filled mentors, with people in the church and in your community that are filled with the Holy Ghost that you can lean on for wisdom. Remember, Satan's one of his biggest tactics is that they don't understand. But greater is he that is in you, if you have the Holy Ghost, than he that is in the world. We just have to make sure that he's in us, because he does the overcoming. No matter who you are and what you are, you will never be able within yourself to outsmart the enemy. He's slick. He's been at it for 6,000 years. He, in fact, has been watching your DNA, your ancestry, coming all the way down. He know, in other words, he knows you better than you know yourself. You may not even know your family history past your grandparents, and there's a lot you may not even know there. But he knows for 6,000 years, he's known the weakness of your natural abilities. What gets you? Is it temper? His temper so ran in your family, he knows. And he'll know just when to strike. Satan is very smart. But he can never outsmart the Lord Jesus. He can never win. He can never outdo the Holy Ghost. So no matter where you are in life and how much money you want to make and what wonderful career you're pursuing and all the plans you have for the future, get the Holy Ghost first. Because I promise you, all that success without the Holy Ghost is misery. Getting married without the Holy Ghost leads to misery. Leads to disappointment. Leads to pain. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because we all have a purpose in life. God has called. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a song leader. You don't have to sing specials. You don't have to play instruments. If you do, that's God's extra blessings on you. But don't feel like just because you don't can't ever maybe, you know, put a finger on something that you do. God has called you for a purpose in life. And there's also, you know, he's called us all, and there's an importance of stepping into that purpose. God has a realm of influence for each and every one of us, and it's just as important to step into that position, and it's just as important to step into it as not stepping out of it. I want to do everything God wants me to do, but not a single bit more. Do you understand? You want to step into what God has for you, but not out, and be so zealous that you're trying to do someone else's job. Because that's not good either. You've got to stay into that, because we're all given a realm, a world, or a realm of influence that God has given you. God has given you an influence. Assuming you go to school, you're on the job, and you're the only believer there. God has given you an influence to shine the light right there that all the preachers in your church can't do. You go to school. Every person, and you're the only believer in that school. You're the only one in your grade or whatever the situation. Everyone else in your church cannot spread the influence, the godly influence that you have been given the opportunity to do as you can. It may be even the influence of spreading, reflecting Jesus Christ to your younger siblings, your friends at church. Because even your friends in church need you to be a light. Just because you're at church don't mean to turn the light off. That's the time you keep it on. A Christian never turns their light off. Well, bless God, I'm at the church house, so I'm going to just turn my light off. You keep that light shining. Because there's people, there's someone who's always watching. So when they look at, whenever one young person looks at another, maybe they're struggling. And because you're a young person, Sister Zoe, and someone else could be struggling, saying, okay, Satan makes me think that my parents don't understand. But here's someone my age that's on fire for God. You see? So they know, okay, there's a teenager. I know that they feel the same pressures as social media. Is it okay if I put this down? They feel the same pressures of social media. They may feel the same pressures of school and temptation and peer pressure. And because you're letting your light shine, you're then giving them strength. In a realm of influence. And as you grow in life and spiritual maturity, your influence can then change. God can lead you on. From the influence of your school, you graduate. And then you begin to influence people in the workplace. Maybe you begin to influence people in college. Maybe then you get married and you can then influence husband and wife can give each other strength. They're going through a hard time. The husband helps the wife. The husband goes through a hard time. The wife helps the husband. And then you begin to have children. And then the children are looking for reality. So then all of a sudden your influence has now spread to children that are going to look to you for reality and look for the right influence in your home. Because if a couple is always bickering and fighting, and that's just their lifestyle, then their children are subjected to that, then they will be in that wrong atmosphere. In 1 Corinthians 7:24, the Bible says, "Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God." It's in this realm that God has called you that you must keep the enemy out. Because he will constantly, you have to guard your testimony. We have to keep ourselves covered by the blood constantly. 1 John chapter 2, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Amen. We live in a really dark time. Darkness that can be felt. It's getting so evil. There's even, you know, there's nowhere else to go. But you don't even feel like staying here anymore. What it is God has taken out all them rabbit skins and the fur right out of the nest. Because it's time to take a flight. It's getting uncomfortable. It's getting sticky. We try and move over here and it's nasty. And then we go over here and it's just so dark. Because it's time to go home. People don't know which way to turn. Every church age has had its own temptations. Every church age, you think of the temptation of the dark ages to just, you know, to the unimaginable tortures. And just one recantment could make your flesh so comfortable. That is a serious temptation. That's a whole lot harder than turning your head. Can be. But God anointed them for that. And the Holy Ghost anoints you and strengthens you to shun sin. To not be able to stomach it. And remember, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to be heed to temptation. But God will always equip His elect to overcome every obstacle. If this is the most evil age that's ever been, then He's equipped us with the most powerful message that's ever been given. The most powerful message. Because remember, the Scripture says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises that standard against it. Raises that standard. Remember, you can't do it by yourself. You can't just march out and say, "I'm going to overcome this devil." No. It's God. You have to do it. But there comes a time where you have to be tired of living with the thing. There's a point where Brother Branham said that Legion had to fight himself to get to Jesus. He had to fight past them evil spirits to get to Jesus. And he delivered them. He got deliverance. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Now see, that's the key, is that you can do all things, but it's only through Christ that strengthens you. And see, you have to watch the enemy because he's so slick. We live in an age where they'll say, "You can do anything. You can do anything. Be who you want. Identify with whoever you want to be. Whatever, just do it." That's Satan's perversion. When I was in school, we were taught, you know, shoot for the stars. If you want to be an astronaut, you just be an astronaut. And, you know, do what you want to do. But there's a little parenthesis to that, because through Christ, you can. Amen. But without Christ, you'll fail. Amen. And even if somebody, just always remember this, young people, too. Just because you look out and you may see something, "Oh, if I can get that, I know I'll be happy. If I can only be like that person, I know I'll be happy." When you get there without God, it'll actually be further. This is not quite like I thought. So actually, no, it's when I get this. And then you get this. And then you're still not happy. And when you get this, then I'll be happy. And then you realize that you've done spent your life away. But see, if you had him the entire time, then it don't matter what state you're in. If you have a plan and you're planning for your future, but you've got him, you're happy here. But you're just, if the Lord tarries, I'm looking to that. But you're happy. And then God blesses you here. You're still happy. Maybe you want to go there and he closes that door. You're like, but you're still happy. Then he actually leads you this way. You're still happy. He leads you this way. You're still so happy. Then about the time you get over here, you can look and say, oh man, I'm so glad that door was closed. But you are happy from there to there to there to there. You have the joy of the Lord. Because he's the real happiness. He is ultimate success. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, when you get the Holy Ghost, then you have arrived. Then you begin to grow in him. But when you're testifying that you're in Christ, the enemy will come in and say, you can't do it. But that's the time to say, Satan, get thee behind me. Because the Bible says I can do all things through him. In Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, don't think the enemy's thoughts. You can live a victorious, overcoming life. You can. Through him, you can. You can remain pure for a future spouse. Through him, you can. You can shun Satan's offers. Now, you see, through him, because he'll make it look so good. Maybe he'll make it look so good, but it'll get you out of church. But it gives you everything you ever wanted. It'll give you, maybe if I can just get this, he'll make you an offer and it'll look so good. But watch it. Pray about it. And that goes back to having godly mentors and godly parents you can go to and say, brother, sister, pray with me about this. I've got this kind of offer and I'm not really sure what to do. Pray with me and God will lead you. You can be the only one living for God. In your school, in your home, in your family, it doesn't matter. You can. Through Christ, you can do all things. In John 15, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except that ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. See, he's the energizer. All of that your brother and your sister sees are the actual fruit of your lives, because by your fruits you are known. But what's behind pushing is that life of the vine that's causing you to live a victorious life. Do you realize, brother and sister, what a miracle that you are to be standing and living and standing for the truth in this age? In the most darkest, ungodly age, here you are, you're holding up a standard. Come what may. You're holding up a standard. You're believing the truth. That is, you are the fulfillment of God's word. You are the standard. Like Brother Wade said, there's not going to be a gap. God is going to have a church without bride, without spot or wrinkle. He's going to have that bride. She's going to be there. She's here. She's all across the world. And you can only imagine how that infuriates the enemy, that no matter what he throws at you, no matter how much it just disappoints you and how the disappointments of life take you this way or that way, you refuse to back up on the word. But that vine is what feeds the soul. In St. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, but that ye in me, ye might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, the world will always produce their own fruit. It'll always be mixed. Maybe there'll be some goodness in there, but it'll always be mixed, and it will always bring death. In Revelation 5:9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to our God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So before we can come back and reign on the earth, we have to reign this earth. You've got to rule over your own earth, not someone else's earth, not your neighbor's earth. You have to rule over your earth. I have to rule over my own earth. Because remember, God is an expert at being outnumbered, but coming out with the victory. You, the gene seed of God, are fighting 10, your senses, against one. Think about that. You have all these senses of the spirit. You have all the senses of your body that many times tell you things that are contrary to the word. And you have to stand there toe to toe with the devil and stand on the word. You can't see the promise come to pass. God can speak to your heart and he tells you something is coming, but you can't see it. You can't reason it out. You have no idea how it's going to happen. You think of Abraham. Prime example. But yet he stood there. He had in his soul, he believed God. And his faith was counted to him for righteousness. And despite what, not only his own 10 senses he had to fight, but he had to fight all the naysayers, all the mockers, all the people that made fun of him. And yet he had to stand firm. We have to stand firm in an age of more unbelief than ever. Joshua was fighting enemies in the promised land. And the land belonged to them. It was promised to them. God told them, it's yours. But they had to fight for every inch, every foot. You think about that. God gave us a promise. He gave us a word full of promises. But you have to fight for it. If sickness has struck your body, we can't just sit back and say, well, God promised me healing. I'm just going to wait on it to come, you know. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I don't know. You've got to fight. Every morning when you wake up and you feel sick, every time you look in the mirror and you may still see the affliction, you have to fight past what you see. You have to fight past what you feel. The only way to possess it was to fight. They could have never settled in the land had they not fought for it. They could have sat there right on the edge of Jordan and said, that is the most beautiful land I've ever seen. I bet I could grow some beautiful grapes. I can just imagine my children for generations running out there. That land will always belong to us. My goodness, it is exactly what God said. Well, let's go over. No, I can't. My friend won't. So my friend ain't going to do it, so I can't do it. Get out and fight. And there's a military strategy, not just fighting, but as you're fighting, you possess. You keep pushing back the enemy off of your land. Remember, it's your land. The enemy is squatting. It's not his land that you're taking over. The land belonged to them and all them civilizations God allowed to raise up to just keep it nice and trim for them, to plant a lot of the crops for them. So it wasn't their land. It was God's land that he promised to Abraham, and this was his seed coming back to take possession of what was theirs. Amen. Your health is not the devil's. It belongs to you. Your sound mind does not belong, your mind don't belong to the devil. It belongs to you. So if Satan keeps coming to you, we have to fight it out. The sound mind belongs to you. A godly marriage belongs to you. Amen. A godly home, godly families belong to you. Amen. Right. And it don't always look like, you know, there's that song, Waymaker, even when I don't see it, He's still working. When I don't even feel like He's working, He's working. Just because the children of Israel were circling the walls of Jericho, just because on every day the wall they didn't go back to the camp and see the walls falling down, did not mean God wasn't working. But there finally came a day when the walls came crashing down. Every promise in the Word of ours is, but we must fight to obtain it. Everything is a fight. Life is a fight. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In Joshua 10:24, and it came to pass when they brought out those kings, because Joshua was fighting. He was in the promised land. He was fighting, and 10 kings went and hid themselves in a cave to get away. And Joshua said, seal up them caves. I'm going to deal with them in the right time. So when he was done killing all the enemy, he comes back and he said, now take the stone away and you bring them 10 kings right out. And in Joshua chapter 10, verse 24, and it came to pass that when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war that went with him. Now notice this. Joshua was not the one that was going to do this. He said to all the warriors that fought with him, Joshua's the type of Jesus Christ. And we're all warriors. We're all Gentile warriors. We're captains. We're fighting, killing devils. Killing the influence of the enemy. Whenever the enemy tries to come in and strike your home, attack your loved ones, you stand toe-to-toe with that devil and you apply the token. You're fighting your men and women of war that went with him. And Joshua said, come near. Put your feet upon the necks of these kings. Put your foot. I'm not going to do it. You do it. The devil that's attacking your home, put your foot on his neck. Depression, put your foot on his neck. Worldly friends that are trying to take you away from God, not literally, but the spirit that's trying to do it, put your feet on their neck. Because it's not them, it's the spirit, it's Satan. Because remember, he'll try and attack you through other people and other avenues too. So you put your foot on that king. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. Remember, that's what David did when he killed Goliath. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus saith the Lord, be of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. We are to put our feet on their necks. Because remember, if it's only in the mind, if it's only intellectual faith, Satan will overtake you. Satan is a whole lot better at the intellectual game than anyone could ever be. But when it's in the heart, then you're like Samson. Then though you be surrounded by 1,000 devils. If he did it with a jawbone of a mule, how much more can you do it with an open book? But see, it a lot of times, because it's spiritual and you can't see it, it comes back to challenge you. But because you maybe take authority over the devil in your home, it can be at church, it can be at home. You can say, look, and you declare war on the devil. Literally, declare war. You find the promise of God that he's attacking you. He's attacking your home. Find the promise of God. That'll fix it. He's attacking your mind. He's attacking your body. Whatever. You find the promise of God and you take your family. You open the word. And you say, now, Satan, here's a word. You read it. And you declare war and say, you are not welcome in our marriage. You're not welcome in our home. You're not welcome in my situation. You're not welcome in my mind. You're not welcome in my body. And you then, you let that faith that God put in you, that revelation that drops, you let that be the strong man that holds the door. Now, see, the challenge is, brothers and sisters, that after you say that, you close the Bible, and you may not most of the time see some mighty angelic warfare going on. But something happened. When Jesus went to the fig tree, it was a fig tree, something he created. And he spoke and said, let no fig come forth. He didn't sit there and yell at it and do everything else. He spoke the word. He knew who he was. He knew it had to come to pass. And it was settled in his mind. But see, that is where the struggle is. Because we claim the promise of God upon a situation, and then we go out and in 2 hours, it looks like the whole thing blows right up. You prayed for a sound mind. You prayed that God will deliver you from depression. But in an hour from then, you feel more depressed than you've ever felt. That's the time to be a Samson. That's the time, because, you know, Satan calls out for help. He likes to, you know, sometimes he likes to think that he's the big bad devil. But when the Spirit of God comes in to deliver, he's not so big and bad anymore. When the prophet of God would begin to discern an epilepsy and different things, well, he could see in the Spirit the streaks, evil spirits calling out for reinforcements, calling out for help. When they came in the presence of Jesus, what do they say? Have you come to cast us out before our time? What have we to do with you, thou Son of God? All these different examples in the Scripture. They knew when they were in that presence. So don't be discouraged by what looks like a natural blow up from what you just claimed. Your back hurts and you're sitting in church and these brothers are preaching the word and they're preaching faith and healing, and you take out and you receive it. And you walk back and come Monday morning and you can't even get out of bed. That's a challenge to you. And that is the moment where you say, oh man, I guess I didn't. Right there, it's come right back to you. But when you stand there like Samson, you stand there like Shamgar. When darkness tries to creep into your atmosphere, when darkness tries to creep into your realm that God has given you, your realm of influence, then you discern that as a high priest of your home, us fathers. And you catch that spirit trying to slip in through that book, through that friend, through that movie. And you catch it. It's our job. When the enemy tries to raise his head, you have to take control. Leviticus 26, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemy shall fall before you by the sword. When Joshua routed the enemy, whenever he stopped the sun, he needed more light. That was his purpose of stopping the sun. We're all very familiar with that story. Well, understand that as Sister Sharon sang that song, Arise and Shine, Thy Light Has Come, the light has been shown and every devil has been exposed. We don't have to shout, sun, stand still. The S-O-N has stood still. And his light has shined in this day and has exposed every work of the enemy, every trick of the devil. Now, what was the purpose of the sun standing still? So Joshua could kill his enemies. The scripture says that he that can't control his spirit is like a city with no walls. In Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit, there it is. It's like a city that is broken down and without walls. So in the old days, you know, they built walls around the city. So if the city did not have walls, it was easy for the enemy to come and do hit and run tactics. Pillage and run, pillage and run. So if we can't control our own spirit and we're tempted to maybe flare up about this, or maybe we're tempted to be discouraged or whatever attacks our human spirit, if we're not fortified by the word, then Satan will come hit you and run. Then you'll maybe go down to the next, and then you'll get hit and run again. And Satan will have you in an awful fix. Because the enemy will going to come and he's going to test you. The word that you've received, that you receive every service, the word that you're receiving now, you're going to go out the doors and the enemy is going to test you on it. That's what he does. Now, here's the quote I was looking for a few minutes ago. Talking about Legion, he had to fight past the devils. Brother Bram said, and he cares, do you care? He cared when the neurotic called Legion cared enough under opposition to wiggle out from under those tombstones of devils to go out to meet Jesus and throw himself prostrate. He had to fight past the devils that were trying to keep him from Jesus. The devils knew who Jesus was. So the devils were trying to keep Legion back from Jesus. So Legion had to exercise enough faith in who Jesus was himself, even though he himself couldn't deliver himself of it. He knew if he could at least get to Jesus, Jesus could deliver him of the legion of devils he was fighting. He says, when, Legion, them devils would have never come if Legion hadn't have pushed his way out there to meet him. And if Satan fights you, young people, middle-aged people, it doesn't matter what your age, old people, if he fights you, the wrong approach is to stay at a church. Because Satan has attacked me, or Satan has done this to me. Because that's what he's trying to do, is he's trying to isolate you. Here's where you can get help. The brothers preaching don't know what you're going through. But yet the Spirit knows. So as he's preaching, the word just comes forth. And it begins to discern what you're going through. But Satan can sit in your ear and say, somebody told them that. So see how he then robs you of a blessing? Instead of saying, Lord, that man didn't know I'm going through that. He'll then say that somebody told them, and that's why they're saying it. See how sneaky he is? Because it's in the when the changes of life, Brother Ram talks about like every 7 years from teenage, and then you grow, you know, as you grow older, and then you hit menopause and for the sisters and midlife and the elderly. There's different seasons of life, and with each season, there comes weakness, a certain weakness. The teenagers may have a weakness that maybe those going through midlife do not, or elderly, or whatever season of life. We're all in seasons of life. So Satan will sit there, and it's in them crucial seasons of life that we must stand strong. That is when we should draw near to God. Because remember, he promised that he would never, always rest on this, he promised he would never put more on you than what you can handle. Sometimes we go through things and they're like, Lord, it's getting real close. I'm getting real, I can't really, well, maybe even say this in prayer. God, I can't handle this no more. But you see, as I said when I started, you have to look at things the way God sees it. God's looking at you and saying, you've got a whole lot left in you. You've got this. But yet you're looking in the natural, and we get caught up and beat up in the natural because we're all natural. And so we get caught up in the natural. Like, Lord, I can't take this no more. I'm at my end. I don't see no change coming. I don't see no change. But he's looking at you through a different set of eyes. Now see, Satan, God has his desire for you, and Satan has his desire. Satan has a desire for you and your life. He'd like to get that talent you have and have you sell it to him. He'd maybe like to get the looks that you have and sell it to him. He'd like to maybe get the money that you have and sell out to him. Because remember, as I said, we can never outsmart him. Now in Luke chapter 22, if the brothers can pull this up. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. That's Satan's desire. He desired to have you. That he may sift you as wheat. He can take you and just do what he wants with you. Turn your life upside down. Any direction. That was Satan's desire for Peter. And Peter had no idea. Peter was living his life and even being a disciple of the Lord Jesus. But even before that, fishing, had his business going, had his family, all these things, and had no idea that Satan desired to get him. And remember, young people, it's not just what God has saved you from or delivered you from. It's what he saved you from doing. You see, that is very powerful. Even if we all made mistakes, but it doesn't matter what you did. That doesn't matter anymore. It matters what you're doing now and where you're going. That's what you need to concentrate on. Don't look in the back. That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to be so confused and so tore up about your mistakes that you never turn around and forget those things that are behind. Forget them. Satan brings them back. Yeah, that's just cannon fodder. That's just, that don't matter. Just because he brings them back and tries to fight you with a memory does not mean that they're still attached to you. It doesn't matter. So we have to realize that even it doesn't matter what you did, God forgave you. And at the moment that you turned your life around, God saved you from so much heartache. He saved you from hell, most importantly. But even between the journey from earth to what would have been hell, God saved you from so much trouble. So sometimes, because God's not going to override your free moral agent, God presents you eternal life. God is presenting this to you. And you choose to go the other way. Well, he's not going to lose you because you're his, number one. But what you're doing is you're creating more scars. You're still, because the Bible said, all that the Father has given me shall come to me. No man can pluck them out of my hand, but you're creating more scars. But Satan would have desired, to have you. He desired to have me that he may sift us as wheat. But listen to these beautiful words. He said, but I have prayed for you, that thy faith fail not. The hardest trial of your life, but he's prayed for you. That your faith won't fail. Peter wasn't aware of Satan's desire for him, but Jesus knew it and even prayed for him ahead of time. Already done. And young people, Satan hath greatly desired to have you. He'd love to misdress you. He'd love to misuse you. To pervert you and to make you a trophy of hell. That's Satan's desire for you. He wants to buy your soul. That's his desire. He'd love to put a bid on your soul, and that could be in the form of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But you've already been bought and paid for. You've already, the I Am has already prayed for you. When you get home, you should read John 17. He said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He knows your struggles. He knows your complexes. He knows your fears. But you've already been bought. You've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And once you're sealed in the kingdom, Satan can't touch you. He's defeated. Amen. He can snarl. He can snap. He can bark. But he's got nothing on you. But see, yet he is an expert at making you think he's got something on you. And if it's not under the blood, he does. But as soon as it's under the blood, Satan loses his hold. It doesn't matter what you've done. It's under the blood. We are, through him, more than a conqueror. He is the mighty conqueror. But we, through him, conquer the enemy. You conquer your temptations. You conquer the trials of life. Because nothing can separate you. You think what a beautiful scripture that is. Nothing can ever separate you, Sister Lilia, Amen. From the love of God that's in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the blood? Amen. Aren't you thankful? Because see, Brother Bob, the blood is like the great equalizer, if I can say that, and not it sounds sacrilegious. It doesn't matter what a scoundrel somebody was on earth, or in what a sanctimonious home they were born in. One needed the blood just as much as the other. Jesus doesn't have a very concentrated amount of blood for this person, and he just needs a diluted amount for this one. Without him, we'd all be going to hell. And so the blood of Jesus is more than enough. It ain't just barely enough. It's more than enough. So young people, it doesn't matter what plans you have for your future and what different stages you're in life, whether you're still in school, whether you've graduated and you've got so many decisions ahead of you, whether you're seeking a spouse or whatever, put God first. And remember, don't use, when the enemy comes in, use the word to defeat him. If you literally have to open the word and show the devil, he knows it's there, but show him that you know it's there. And you declare war on the devil, and you hold the faith despite of what the circumstances look like. Circumstances are a big enemy to us. The eye. What we see and how we feel and what we think is a big enemy and a big hindrance to us. But take what you know to be the truth and hold it. Is that easier said than done? Yes. Honestly, it is. But the bride, God has equipped you to do that. When the world can't do it, God has equipped something in you to do it. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Aren't you thankful? Don't you love the Lord Jesus? He's so worthy to be praised. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity, Lord, to speak your word, Father, Lord, to your children. We thank you, Lord, for the revelated truth, Father, Lord, and that you've showed us who we are in the scriptures, Lord, and that we know that we can stand on thus saith the Lord, and the enemy comes in and he attacks us. Lord, you told us already in your word that greater is he, Father. Greater, you're so much greater in us than he that's in the world. How we love you with all of our heart, Lord. And we thank you, Father, Lord, for this group of people here, Lord, that have stood steadfast, Lord, for so many years upon your word. We ask that you bless, Lord, Brother Wade, Lord, and all the workers, Father, all the brothers that work with them, Father, Lord. All the brothers and sisters, Lord, that have worked, Lord, to even put together, Lord, the fellowship we're about to enjoy. We just pray, oh God, that you bless each and every one, Lord. And you said in your word that God is not unjust, Lord. You don't forget the labor of love that that everyone bestows, Father. Little or small, it's all big in your sight. We love you with all of our hearts. We ask your blessings over each one. We just ask that you just bless us now in your presence. I pray, oh God, that may the word, Lord, that was spoken, may it just bring forth fruit. Bring forth fruit, Lord, of the seed that was spoken. We love you with all of our hearts. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 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 God bless you, Brother Wade. Praise the Lord.
While our brother was speaking, the devil's going to always, Brother John, he's going to, you know, you're going to try to forget things, and God puts them in the sea of forgetfulness. He's not going to ever remember them, so don't worry about God remembering them anymore. He's not going to, but the devil's going to, and he's going to remind you of it.
That's right.
You know what? Just turn around and look at him and say, they're not mine anymore. They're not attached to me anymore. Sin was attached to me at one time, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, there's a what? There's a barrier.
Amen.
There's a barrier there. So, hey, devil, they're yours now. All that's going to heap on him now. So just say, hey, they're yours now. I don't care how many times he tells me, well, that's okay, they're yours. They're not mine anymore. Whose sins you talking about, the song says, right? Let's sing a song. If you have a need, we'll let the sisters go downstairs and get everything ready. Thank you for the worship time. Thank you for our brother coming and pouring his heart out.
Amen. We are standing on holy ground.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there standing in His presence on holy ground.
Standing on the mountain. And that's what makes your ground holy. Is there somebody holy standing on that ground? Claim your possession. Never back up. Go forward.
Oh, my Jesus, now. For we are standing in His presence.
If you really believe that, let's sing it one more time. If you believe the presence of God is there, let's sing it to Him.
Oh, we are standing.
Prophet that brought us a message that he could go back into another dimension and he could see those angels, he could see the pillar of fire, and he could see those demons crying out to each other. You know, he said to be a black streak. I have never heard of an angelic angel that come from the presence of God ever hollering for help. Remember, God comes up one time and he's talking about something, and Wormwood just walks up and said, I'll destroy it. Just let me have it. Yeah. He didn't say, I need some help. I need to go call this one. He said, no, give it to me. I'll take care of it.
Right.
That's the kind of angels that we like.
Amen.
We don't want them angels that are little swiveling, little angels that says, I'm sorry. I need some help over here.
Yeah.
No. We got a mighty God that never needs help.
That's right.
But he wants us to depend on him. He wants us to depend on him. Let's sing that song. Can you sing, Let's Fight, Be Brave Against All Evil? Is that what you're going to say? Well, hello, somebody. Is he there?
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the fire. If you believe that, sing it to him. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. Oh, there are many dangers that we all must face. If we die a fight, it is no disgrace. Coward in the service, he
This is not a picnic. This is a battle. God didn't give us spoons and forks. He did that for us to eat. But he gave us swords to fight with. He gave you everything you need. All the equipment. He's already given it to you. Like our brother said, we ain't got to wait for something to come. It's here. I mean, why would we wait and be equipped after the battle? No, you got to be equipped before the battle gets here. And you got to be trained. Amen. You got to be able to know what you're doing.
That's right.
You got to be able to do like David. Now, David didn't want to wear that armor that Saul had because he never proved it before.
Yeah.
It weighed him down.
Yeah. Right.
Because Saul was a great big guy and David was a little ready guy. He probably was like, you know, if you put somebody in a suit of armor, you couldn't move. No, he said, get that stuff off me. He said, I don't know that. He said, but there's one thing I do know.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He said, there was a bear.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Put that in your life. There was a lion. Put that in your life.
Oh, yeah.
He said, God help me do that. And he said, now listen. That guy's made a challenge against the people of God. All right? And Satan's made a challenge to some of you. You're the children of God.
Amen.
Pick up your sling. Pick up those five stones. And don't wait for the preacher to do it for you.
Right.
He didn't wait till Samuel got there. He didn't wait till Saul. He didn't even wait on Saul. He didn't even wait on the army.
Yes.
He went out there by himself.
Right.
And he slew a man 9 feet tall with a spear that was like 14 feet tall. And as my brother said, unsurmountable odds.
Yeah.
To me, that's when I look for God.
Because
Satan's just going to keep piling that on you, but God's going to say, that's okay.
Yeah.
I can take one.
Yeah.
I don't need but one. And that Brother Brown said, he said, give me one.
Yeah. Right.
Give me one person that'll believe what I say tonight.
Exactly.
Give me one person that'll believe what our brother said today.
That's right.
And you'll be an invincible army, the prophet of God told us.
Amen.
Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Tell our brother how much you appreciate it. For those of you that are here, when the visitors go first. And Sam and Sharon, you are not visitors, so you go last. Okay. You've been here before. Okay? Don't make him mad. You'll get to eat, don't worry. But it's good to have Sam share. I forgot Kentucky. Good to have the Kentuckians here with us today. So
great
to have them with us. But good to have each and every one of you here. Visitors go first. We're going to pray over the food. Head downstairs. Enjoy your fellowship for the rest of the day. There'll be, like I said, games, and people will direct you where to go. And the young kids have got a bunch of stuff to do in the room. So if they're in a room with the door shut, don't go through that room. Just let them, you know, do what they need to do. As far as Sister Gabby's got many things for the young kids to do. And then the older ones will be doing questions or Bible trivia or something somewhere in the back. And then we have prizes for that. So we appreciate you coming. For those of you that won't be here tomorrow, you got a home church to go to. Brother Brown said you ought to go to your home church. But we will have the next youth service will be the third Saturday in September. We're not. July is going to be July the 14th, 15th, and 16th. We're taking our youth and we're going to Brother Andre Head's church in Irwin, Tennessee. And we're going to have youth service up there on the third Saturday of July. So that'll be the July meeting we're going to take up. If anybody wants to go, if anybody wants to go, then Brother Dale said, we'll pray for your room and everything to get you a place to stay Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then we will have food, and we're going to have the same thing. We're going to have a kind of a day for everybody to fellowship and get to know them again. They're brothers and sisters that we knew when we were kids, and now they've all grown up and got a little bit older. So we kind of want to catch up, you know, but we want the youth to have a good time there too, their youth and our youth together. but that will be July 14, 15, 16. And then August, nothing, September will be Brother Andrew Glover will be here with us on the Saturday at 3 o'clock, third Saturday in September. Just come and be with us. And if you don't have a place to go, we invite you to be here tomorrow, Brother. Brother Vaughn will be preaching for us one service tomorrow. Start at 9:45 in the morning, and we appreciate all of you. So all minds clear. We appreciate all of you again for coming. Appreciate all these musicians. Brother William was looking out here, and he said, man, said, y'all, we've added a couple, three chairs. I said, well, we could add about 10 more if we had room. We've got more people on the stage, Brother Robbie, than we had our first church service in 1971. So we got more musicians now than we had people. So God's blessed us with a lot of good talent. So we appreciate them all. And what I do like him, it's not a banjo, it's a banjer. It's a banjer. Banjer and a fiddle. Not a Stradivarius, a fiddle. You play fiddle and a banjer. But we appreciate it. Hey, this is South. This is the South. I like y'all's big bass. He's a big bass player, too. He's as big as that bass. He's a big kid. But I like that big floor bass. What do you call it? Floor bass. Nothing to say about my brother-in-law. He's a good bass player. But they'd have a good bass player up there. And electric guitar. But we appreciate God giving us talent. Look at all that. I mean, look at the talent. Every one of you can do something for God. Sing, clap your hands. You know, that's all I can do. And I usually get out of beat with that. But God didn't bring me to sing. Okay? So I don't worry about that. I stay in my place. I don't have to sing. I ain't a song leader. So let's bow our heads and we'll sanctify the food. Youth go first. Young kids, the ones here that are visitors, you go first, all right? And then move right on through the line, and then we will have some things afterwards to do. Somebody will direct you where to go. So thank you all for coming again, and let's continue on. This is not over with. We're just going to continue on downstairs. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the food that we received up here, Lord. Now I pray that you would sanctify the food that we're about to naturally partake of, Lord, that will help our bodies and keep us strong, Lord. I pray that you would sanctify it, Lord. Sanctify the people that eat it. Father, be with the sisters and brothers that are participating in putting it together, that brought the food, that brought the drinks, brought the different things, Lord. I pray that you would just bless them, Father. Also, I pray that you bless Brother William. Lord, give him strength for tomorrow, Lord. Be with the ones that are here, Lord, that maybe have to travel back. We sure appreciate them coming, Lord. We appreciate all of the bride around the world, Father, and we sure appreciate when we can get together. And, Father, we pray that you'd be with them on the highways. Be with the ones that are staying over. Be with us tomorrow, Lord. We pray that you'd be with them and give them strength. Lord, just bless us all in the furtherment of this as we continue on downstairs. Lord, may our fellowship be centered around you, Lord, and not be something of the world, Father, but it be something that we'll get from you, that we can leave this place and say, man, I made another friend, or man, I learned something new, or I learned something from the Lord. And that's what this is all about, Lord. Yes. Father, just be with us now. Take care of us. We love you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
Fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God.